With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner from the Wall Street Journal in New York. It was a good end to a bad week. Stocks rebounded Friday from a massive two-day sell-off. A big opening rally faded and trading whipsawed for much of the session. The Dow Jones Industrials closed up 287 points at 25,339. The NASDAQ Composite rose 167 points, and the S&P 500 gained 38. But stocks still had their worst week since late March. The Dow lost 4.2%, the S&P dropped 4.1%, and the NASDAQ gave up 3.7%. Joining us is Akane Otani, the markets reporter for the Wall Street Journal, to recap the trading week. Akane, this was a rally of bargain hunters, wasn't it, with, you know, stocks considerably cheaper?
Yeah, it's this dynamic that we've seen sort of over and over again throughout the nine-year bull market where we have a sell-off, things start looking a little bit scary, and then sooner rather than later, buyers end up coming back into the market. And investors say, you know, what has supported this dynamic is just the fact that the economic data continues to be quite positive in the U.S., and so there's this sense that when we see a pullback in the markets, it actually opens up a lot of popular companies that maybe might have looked a little bit too expensive and sort of essentially puts them on sale and attracts buyers back in.
Let's go back like 2 days. Tell us why stocks fell so precipitously on Wednesday and Thursday. This was a matter of rising yields, wasn't it?
It was, at least on Wednesday. We did see that sort of dynamic continue from the previous week where bonds were selling off throughout developed markets, and that was renewing questions among investors about this relationship between stocks and bonds and whether bonds are becoming more attractive than stocks, especially with the current valuations that investors are contending with. The prospect of getting a 3.25% yield on risk-free investment becomes especially attractive. But we also saw another dynamic sort of play into the sell-off, and that was this big reversal in technology stocks. One of the best performers of the year, and actually still the best performing sector in the S&P 500 on the year. But we did see a huge reversal with companies like Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, all tumbling. And really in the absence of any sort of corporate news on those fronts, it was investors were seeing sort of a massive pullback from these trades that people have sort of decided have become increasingly crowded.
Do investors fear that this stability, which it seems to me this rally was, it was sort of a stabilizing rally. Do investors think this stability is only temporary, you know, since there are still worries about higher interest rates, trade tariffs, China?
There are definitely some folks who will say that just because none of those big questions have entirely been resolved. I think people still think the Fed is going to keep moving with its rate increases. It's definitely still going to pare its bond holdings as well. And the U.S. and China's trade relationship continues to be a source of concern for a lot of investors. We've heard a lot of back and forth throughout the last couple of days about President Trump and Xi potentially meeting to discuss the trade tariffs between the two countries, but we kept hearing a lot of conflicting developments on that front. So trade and interest rates and the Fed, those all continue to be big sources of concern.
On the other hand, I suppose the markets could stabilize, continue to recover if upcoming earnings are strong. We're going to be in the thick of the season and the economic data remains strong.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think when it comes down to it, that's the thing that investors keep citing as a source of strength for the bull market. We really saw sort of a dislocation between what financial markets did this week and what investors are saying the economy looks like. Because even with the depth of the sell-off, even with major indexes notching their biggest decline since March, investors are on the whole pretty optimistic about where the U.S. is. They just acknowledge that as interest rates keep rising, this shift is going to occur where it's going to set the bar higher, essentially, especially when we head into corporate earnings season. We've already seen several quarters of solid growth in the S&P 500. So to a certain extent, that's been priced in. So it's really going to be important for investors to see that companies are still continuing to issue upbeat forecasts for the coming quarters.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akane Otani. Thanks, Akane.
Thanks for having me.
It'll be a busy week for earnings as the third quarter reporting season kicks into high gear. More financial giants weigh in, including American Express, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs. Netflix's earnings will be closely watched, and we'll also hear from Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, and Alcoa. On the economic front, the Federal Reserve will issue the minutes from its most recent policy meeting last month. We'll get retail sales, existing home sales, and industrial production numbers all for the month of September. Plus, the monthly New York Manufacturing Survey is due, along with a key home building sentiment survey, the National Association of Home Builders Housing Market Index. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner from the Wall Street Journal in New York.